2060, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name. God said unto Abraham, signifies perception. Sarai thy wife signifies here as before truth conjoined with good. Thou shalt not call her name Sarai signifies that he will put off the human. For Sarah is her name signifies that he will put on the divine. 2061. God said unto Abraham, that this signifies perception is evident from the signification of God saying, in the historical sense, as being in the internal sense, to perceive. Explained before, number 1791, 1815, 1819, 1822, 1898, 1919. As another subject here begins to be treated of, namely, that signified by Sarai and Sarah, and also that signified by the promise of a son from Sarah, and by Ishmael's becoming a great nation, it is introduced by a new perception of the Lord, which is expressed by God said unto Abraham, as in other places. 2062. Sarai thy wife. That hereby is signified truth conjoined with good is evident from the signification of Sarai as being intellectual truth. And as wife is here added, the meaning is this truth conjoined with good. That Sarai and Sarai the wife signifies truth conjoined with good has been shown before. Number 1468, 1901, and in several other places. 2063. Thou shalt not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name. That this signifies that he will put off the human and will put on the divine is evident from what was said of Abraham above, verse 5. Where occur the words, Thy name shall no more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, by which in like manner is signified that he will put off the human and will put on the divine. See number 2009. For the letter H which was added to the name Sarah was taken from the name Yahuwah, so that Sarah, like Abraham, should represent the Lord's divine, and that thus the divine marriage of good with truth in the Lord should be represented, Abraham representing the divine good, and Sarah the divine truth, from which should be born the divine rational, which is Isaac. The divine good, which is love, and in regard to the whole human race is mercy, was the Lord's internal, that is, Yahuwah, who is good itself. This is represented by Abraham. The truth that was to be conjoined with the divine good was represented by Sarai, and this truth, when also made divine, is represented by Sarah. For the Lord advanced to union with Yahuwah successively, as already said. The truth not yet divine, represented by Sarai, was such when it was not yet so united to good as to be truth from good. But when it was so united to good as to proceed from good, it was then divine. And the truth itself was then also good, because it was the truth of good. The truth which tends to good in order that it may be united to good is one thing, and that which is so united to good as to proceed wholly from good is another. The truth which is tending to good still derives something from the human, but that which is wholly united to good has put off all that is human, and has put on the divine. This may be illustrated as before by what is similar with man. When a man is being regenerated, that is, when he is to be conjoined with the Lord, he proceeds to the conjunction by means of truth, that is, by means of the truths of faith. For no one can be regenerated except by means of the cognitions of faith, which are the truths by means of which he proceeds to conjunction. The Lord goes to meet these by means of good, that is, by means of charity, and adjusts and fits this in to the cognitions of faith, that is, to its truths. For all truths are recipient vessels of good, and therefore the more genuine the truths are, and the more they are multiplied, the more abundantly can good accept them as vessels, reduce them to order, and finally manifest itself, so that at last the truths do not appear, except in so far as good shines through them. In this way, truth becomes celestial spiritual. As the Lord is present solely in the good which is of charity, the man is in this way conjoined with the Lord, and by means of good, that is, by means of charity, is endowed with a conscience, from which he afterwards thinks what is true and does what is right. But this conscience is in accordance with the truths and right things into which the good or charity is adjusted and fitted. Verse 16. And I will bless her, and I will give thee a son from her also. And I will bless her, and she shall be for nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. I will bless her signifies the multiplication of truth. And I will give thee a son from her also signifies the rational. And I will bless her signifies its multiplication. And she shall be for nations signifies the goods thence derived. Kings of peoples shall be from her signifies truths from the conjoined truths and goods, which are the kings of peoples. 2065. I will bless her. That this signifies the multiplication of truth is evident from the signification of being blessed, which is to be enriched with all good and truth. See part first, number 981, 1096, 1420, 1422. As it is here said to Sarah that God would bless her, the enrichment or multiplication of truth is signified. For by Sarah, as before shown, is represented and signified the truth of good, which is intellectual truth. And this truth and its multiplication are here treated of. What intellectual truth is may be seen above. Number 1904. 2066. And I will give thee a son from her also. That this signifies the rational is evident from the signification of a son as being truth. See number 489, 491, 533, 1147. And as all that is rational begins from truth, the rational is here signified by a son. The Lord's first rational was represented and signified by Ishmael, born of Hagar the handmaid, treated of in the preceding chapter 16. The second rational, treated of here, is represented and signified by Isaac, who was to be born from Sarah. The former, that is, the rational represented by Ishmael, was the rational that was afterwards expelled from the house. But this second rational, represented by Isaac, is that which remained in the house, because it was divine. But concerning this rational, of the Lord's divine mercy, we shall speak in the following chapter, where Isaac is treated of. 2067. And I will bless her. That this signifies its multiplication, that is, the multiplication of the rational meant by the Son, is evident from the signification of being blessed, which is to be enriched with all good and truth, as said just above. 2068. And she shall be for nations. That this signifies the goods thence derived is evident from the signification of nations as being goods. See Part 1st, Number 1259, 1260, 1416, 1849. 2069. Kings of peoples shall be from her. That this signifies truths from the conjoined truths and goods, which are the kings of peoples, is evident from the signification of kings as being in general all truths. See above, number 2015. And from the signification of peoples as also being truths, and in general all things spiritual. For kings are predicated of peoples, and not of nations, except when nations signify evils. See number 1259, 1260. In the prophetic word there is frequent mention of kings and peoples, but by these are never meant kings and peoples, for in the very word itself, which is the internal sense, kings and peoples are not treated of at all, but the celestial and spiritual things which belong to the Lord's kingdom, thus goods and truths. The sense of the letter simply furnishes objective forms, as is done by human words, for causing its meaning to be understood. As it is here said of Sarah, that kings of peoples shall be from her, and as by Sarah is signified the divine truth which the Lord had, it is evident that by kings of peoples are signified truths from the conjoined truths and goods, which are all truths of the internal church or the interior truths of faith. These truths, being from the Lord, are called kings in various passages of the word, and also king's sons, as shown above, number 2015. Everyone can see that some internal divine thing lies hidden in the words, that kings of peoples shall be from her. For in this verse Isaac is treated of, and in reference to him it is said, I will bless her, and she shall be for nations. But of Sarah, that kings and peoples shall be from her. And also in nearly the same thing being said of Abraham, verse 6, in that kings should come forth from him. But it is not said of him, as of Sarah, kings of peoples. The arcanum that is herein lies too deeply hidden to be unfolded and described in a few words. From the representation and signification of Abraham as being the divine good, and from the representation and signification of Sarah as being the divine truth, the arcanum is in some measure evident, to the effect that all celestial truth will go forth and will be from the Lord's divine good meant by Abraham, and that all spiritual truth will go forth and will be from the Lord's divine truth meant by Sarah. Celestial truth is that which is with the celestial angels, and spiritual truth is that which is with the spiritual angels. Or what is the same thing? Celestial truth is that which was with the men of the most ancient church, which was before the flood, which was a celestial church. And spiritual truth is that which was with the men of the ancient church, which was after the flood, and was a spiritual church. For angels, as well as men of the church, are distinguished into the celestial and the spiritual. The celestial are distinguished from the spiritual by love to the Lord, and the spiritual are distinguished from the celestial by love towards the neighbor. But concerning celestial truth and spiritual truth, no more can be said until it is known what the distinction is between the celestial and the spiritual, or what is the same between the celestial church and the spiritual church, concerning which see Part 1st, Number 202, 337, 1577. Also, what was the quality of the most ancient church, and what was that of the ancient church? Number 597, 607, 640, 765, 1114 to 1125, and in many other places. And that to have love to the Lord is celestial, and to have love towards the neighbor is spiritual. Number 2023. These considerations will suffice to open the arcanum that by the kings who should go forth from Abraham, spoken of in the sixth verse, are signified the celestial truths that inflow from the Lord's divine good, and that by the kings of peoples who should be from Sarah, spoken of in the present verse, are signified the spiritual truths that inflow from the Lord's divine truth. For the Lord's divine good cannot inflow except with the celestial man, because it inflows into the will part, as it did in the case of the most ancient church. But the Lord's divine truth inflows with the spiritual man, because it inflows solely into his intellectual part, which in him has been separated from his will part. See number 2053 at the end. Or what is the same, celestial good inflows with the celestial man, and spiritual good with the spiritual man. And on this account the Lord appears to the celestial angels as a sun, but to the spiritual as a moon. See number 1529, 1530. Verse 17. And Abraham fell upon his faces, and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall there be born to a son of 100 years? And shall Sarah, that is a daughter of 90 years, bear? Abraham fell upon his faces, signifies adoration, and laughed, signifies the affection of truth, and said in his heart, signifies that he so thought. Shall there be born to a son of 100 years? Signifies that the rational of the Lord's human essence should then be united to his divine essence. And shall Sarah, that is a daughter of 90 years, bear? Signifies that truth conjoined with good will do this. 2071. Abraham fell upon his faces. That this signifies adoration is evident from the signification of falling upon the faces as being to adore. See above, number 1999. 2072. And laughed. That this signifies the affection of truth may be seen from the origin and essence of laughter. For its origin is nothing but the affection of truth, or else the affection of what is false, from which come the gladness and merriment that in laughter display themselves in the face, which shows that the essence of laughter is nothing else. Laughter is indeed an external thing that belongs to the body, because to the face. But in the word, interior things are expressed and signified by exterior things, just as all the interior affections of the mind are expressed and signified by means of the face, interior hearing and obedience being signified by the ear, interior sight or understanding by the eye, power and strength by the hand and arm, and so on. And in the same way, the affection of truth by laughter. In man's rational, there is truth, which is its chief characteristic, and there is also the affection of good. But this is in the very affection of truth as its soul. The affection of good, which is in the rational, does not display itself by means of laughter, but by means of a certain joy and consequent pleasurable delight which does not laugh, for in laughter there is usually something that is not so good. The reason why truth is the chief characteristic in man's rational is that the rational is formed by means of the cognitions of truth, for by no other means can anyone ever become rational. The cognitions of good are truths, equally as much as are the cognitions of truth. That laughter here signifies the affection of truth may be seen from its being related that Abraham laughed, and in like manner Sarah, both before Isaac was born and afterwards, and also from Isaac's being named from laughter, for the word Isaac means laughter. That Abraham laughed when he heard about Isaac is evident from this verse, for it is said that Abraham laughed when he heard about a son from Sarah. That Sarah also laughed before Isaac's birth when she heard from Yahuwah that she should bear a son is told in the words, "When Sarah heard at the door of the tent, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I am grown old, shall I have pleasure, and my lord old?' And Yahuwah said unto Abraham, 'Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I of surety bear a child, and I am become old?" Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not, for she was afraid." And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Genesis 18, verses 12, 13, and 15. And later, when Isaac had been born, Abraham called the name of his son Isaac, meaning laughter. And Sarah said, "God hath made laughter for me. Everyone that heareth shall laugh with me." Genesis 21, verses 3 and 6. Unless laughing and the name Isaac, meaning laughter, involved such things, these matters would never have been related. 2073. And said in his heart, that this signifies that he so thought is evident without explanation. 2074. Shall there be born to a son of 100 years? That this signifies that the rational of the Lord's human essence should then be united to the divine essence is evident from the signification of 100, concerning which see above, number 1988. 2075. And shall Sarah, that is a daughter of 90 years, bear? That this signifies that truth conjoined with good will do this is evident from the representation and signification of Sarah as being truth conjoined with good, that is, truth divine, and from the signification of the number 90, or what is the same, of 9. One cannot but wonder that the number 100 years, which was Abraham's age, signifies that the rational of the Lord's human essence should be united to his divine essence, and that the number 90 years, which was Sarah's age, signifies that truth conjoined with good would do this. But as there is nothing in the Lord's word which is not celestial and divine, so must it be with the very numbers contained in it. It was shown in part first that in the word all numbers whatever signify actual things, equally as do all the names. See number 482, 487, 488, 493, 575, 647, 648, 755, 813, 893, 1988. Now that the number 9 signifies conjunction, and still more the number 90, which is the product of the multiplication of 9 into 10, for 10 signifies the remains by which conjunction is effected, as is evident from what was said above, number 1988 at the end, may also be seen from the representatives and significatives which follow. It was commanded that on the 10th day of the 7th month, there should be a day of expiations, and that this should be a Sabbath of a Sabbath. And on the 9th day of the 7th month at evening, from evening even to evening, they should celebrate a Sabbath. Leviticus 23, verses 27 and 32. In the internal sense, these things signify conjunction by means of remains. 9 signifying conjunction, and 10 signifying remains. That a divine arcanum lies hidden in these numbers is clearly evident from the months and the days of the year that were to be held holy, as that every seventh day there was a Sabbath, and that every seventh month, as just stated, there should be a Sabbath of a Sabbath, in like manner the seventh year, and also that on the seven times seventh year the Jubilee should commence. The case is the same with all other numbers in the word, as with 3, the signification of which is nearly the same as that of 7, and with 12, which signifies all things of faith, and with 10, which signifies the same as tenths, that is, remains, see number 576, and so on. Thus, in the passage here quoted from Leviticus, unless the number 10 and the number 9 involved arcana, it would by no means have been commanded that this Sabbath of a Sabbath should be on the 10th day of the 7th month, and that on the 9th of the month they should celebrate it. Such is the word of the Lord in the internal sense, although in the historical sense nothing of the kind appears. In the same way it is related of Jerusalem that it was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar in the 9th year of Zedekiah, and that a breach was made in the 11th year on the 9th day of the month, concerning which we read as follows in the 2nd book of Kings. It came to pass in the 9th year of the reign of Zedekiah, in the 10th month, in the 10th of the month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, against Jerusalem. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the 9th of the month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land, and a breach was made in the city. 25, verses 1, 3, and 4. By the 9th year and the 10th month, and by the 11th year and the 9th of the month, when the famine prevailed in the city and there was no bread for the people of the land, it is signified in the internal sense that there was no longer any conjunction by means of the things of faith and of charity. Famine in the city and no bread for the people of the land signifies that there was nothing of faith and nothing of charity left. This is the internal sense of these words, which does not at all appear in the letter. And such things shine forth from the historical portions of the word, still less than from the prophetical, because the histories so captivate the mind that it is scarcely believed that anything deeper lies hidden within, when yet all things are representative, and the words themselves are everywhere significative. These things are hard to believe, but still they are true. See number 1769, 1772. 2076, verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, Would that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham said unto God, signifies the Lord's perception from love. Would that Ishmael might live before thee, signifies that others who are rational from truth should not perish. 2077. Abraham said unto God, that this signifies the Lord's perception from love, is evident from the signification of saying unto God as being to perceive, which has often been explained before. That Abraham here signifies the Lord in such a state and at such an age has been stated above, number 1989. That the Lord said this from love is evident, for the affection of love shines forth from the very words when it is said, Would that Ishmael might live before thee. The Lord's affection or love was divine, being towards the universal human race, which he willed to completely adjoin to himself and to save to eternity, by means of the union of his human essence with his divine essence, concerning which love, see part first, number 1735. And that from this love the Lord continually fought against the hells, number 1690, 1789, 1812. Also that in the union of his human with his divine, he regarded nothing but the conjunction of the divine with the human race, number 2034. Love, such as the Lord had, transcends all human understanding, and is in the highest degree incredible to those who do not know what the celestial love is in which the angels are. To save a soul from hell, the angels would regard death as nothing. Nay, if it were possible, they would undergo hell for that soul. Hence it is the inmost of their joy to translate into heaven one who is rising from the dead. But they confess that this love is not one whit from themselves, but that all things of it, both in general and in particular, are from the Lord alone. Nay, they are indignant if any one thinks otherwise. 2078. Would that Ishmael might live before thee. That this signifies that others who are rational from truth should not perish is evident from the representation and consequent signification of Ishmael as being the rational, explained in the foregoing chapter where Ishmael is treated of. There are two kinds of men within the church, the spiritual and the celestial. The spiritual become rational from truth, but the celestial from good. What the distinction between them is may be seen above, number 2069, and in many places in part first. The spiritual who become rational by means of truth are here meant by Ishmael, for Ishmael denotes rational truth in its genuine sense, as before shown. Number 1893, 1950, 1951. When this rational truth is being adopted and desired by good, as here by the Lord who is meant by Abraham, it signifies what is spiritual, thus the spiritual man, or what is the same, the spiritual church, the salvation of which was desired by the Lord from divine love. See just above, number 2077. This is expressed by the words, "Would that Ishmael might live before thee." Verse 19. And God said, "Truly Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will set up my covenant with him for an eternal covenant, to his seed after him." God said, signifies an answer perceived. Truly Sarah thy wife, signifies the divine truth conjoined with good. Shall bear thee a son, signifies that the rational is from this. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, signifies the divine rational. And I will set up my covenant with him, signifies union. For an eternal covenant, signifies an eternal union. To his seed after him, signifies those who should have faith in the Lord. 2080. God said, that this signifies an answer perceived is evident from the signification of saying as being to perceive, explained just above, number 2077. And as in the preceding verse we read that Abraham said, and this signified perception, and as here we read that God said or answered, it follows that this signifies an answer perceived, or an answer of perception. In all perception whatever, there is both a proposition and a reply. The perception of both of these is here expressed in the historical sense by the words, Abraham said unto God, and God said. That God said denotes to perceive, may be seen above. Numbers 1791, 1815, 1819, 1822, 1898, 1919, and also in this chapter repeatedly. 2081. Truly Sarah thy wife. That this signifies divine truth conjoined with good is evident from the representation and the consequent signification of Sarah as being divine truth conjoined with good, concerning which above, number 2063. 2082. Shall bear thee a son. That this signifies that the rational will be from this conjunction of divine truth with divine good is evident from the signification of a son as being truth, here rational truth, also spoken of above, number 2066. 2083. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. That this signifies the divine rational is evident from the representation of Isaac and also from the signification of his name in the internal sense. First, from the representation of Isaac. Abraham, as said in various places before, represents the Lord's internal man, but Isaac his rational man, and Jacob his natural man. The Lord's internal man was Yahuwah himself. His rational man, because conceived from the influx of his internal man into the affection of sciences in the external man, see number 1896, 1902, 1910, was from the divine thus conjoined with the human. Hence the first rational, represented by Ishmael, was human, but it was made divine by the Lord, and then is represented by Isaac. Secondly, from the signification of his name. Isaac was named from laughter. And as in the internal sense, laughter signifies the affection of truth, which affection belongs to the rational, as was shown above, number 2072. Laughter here signifies the divine rational. The Lord from his own power made divine all that was human with him. Thus not only the rational, but also the interior and the exterior sensuous part, and thereby the body itself. He thus united the human to the divine, that not only the rational, but also the sensuous part, and thus the whole body also, was made divine and Yahuwah, has been already shown, and may be seen by everyone from the fact that he alone rose from the dead as to the body, and sits at the right hand of the divine power, both as to all the divine and as to all the human. To sit at the right hand of the divine power signifies to have all sovereign power in heaven and in earth. 2084. And I will set up my covenant with him for an eternal covenant. That this signifies union, and in fact eternal union, is evident from the signification of a covenant as being conjunction. And when it is predicated of the Lord, as being the union of his divine essence with his human essence, and of the human essence with the divine essence. That a covenant signifies these things has been shown before. Number 665, 666, 1023, 1038, 1864, and occasionally in this chapter. 2085. To his seed after him. That this signifies those who should have faith in the Lord. is evident from the signification of seed as being faith. Explained before, number 1025, 1447, 1610, 2034. Those are here signified by seed who have the faith of love, that is, who have love to the Lord. Consequently, the celestial, or those who belong to the celestial church. For the seed from Isaac is treated of. But those who have the faith of charity, that is, who have charity towards the neighbor, consequently the spiritual, or those who are of the spiritual church, are signified by Ishmael, who is treated of in the verse that now follows. What the distinction is between the celestial and the spiritual may be seen above, number 2069, 2078, and also what the distinction is between having love to the Lord and having charity towards the neighbor, number 2023.